You're familiar with and probably grateful for the inventions of Alexander Graham Bell and Thomas Edison. But the reason you're able to hear me at this very moment is because of the work of unsung inventor Emil Berliner. He invented the microphone, the flat recording disc, and the gramophone, not to mention acoustic tiles for concert halls and a prototype of the helicopter. One of his earliest recordings from 1898 was Stars and Stripes Forever by John Philip Sousa. This was recorded on a 7-inch disc, or a 78, that Berliner invented. And this recording of Stars and Stripes Forever was made just a few months after Sousa wrote it. The Library of Congress is showcasing the life and recordings of inventor Emil Berliner as part of its American Memory Collection. It's featured on the library's website. And here to tell us about it is Sam Berlowski, the head of the Library of Congress's Recorded Sound section. Mr. Berlowski, why haven't we heard of Emil Berliner?
Well, I don't know why he's not better known, considering his accomplishments. I would suspect it's because almost every one of the inventions he worked on, many people worked on, and he made crucial improvements, or people made improvements on his invention, so he was one of a group. I also believe that he was very much overshadowed in his lifetime and since by the great inventor Thomas Edison, who worked on many of the same projects that Emil Berliner worked on.
Now, I know there's a couple of different ways to pronounce his first name. Emil, Emil, why is this?
Well, I don't know the exact pronunciation, but when Berliner came to America, his name was Emil, E-M-I-L, and he added the E, perhaps to assimilate, to become more American, and which I call Emil.
Well, Berliner did so many things. He invented the mic, he invented the gramophone, he helped create the modern recording industry. Was it one of his goals to bring music, or at least the spoken word, to the public?
Absolutely. Berliner was a German immigrant to the United States. He lived most of his life here in Washington. In fact, he invented the microphone literally a block from where we're sitting here in NPR studios.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was, I think, a true intellectual who thought about a lot of things, but he came here self-educated in electricity and engineering, and yet when he wrote about the early parts of, in the early recordings and wrote about the uses of recording, it was very much having, in his words, a communion with immortality, that is, making speech recordings and music recordings for people to hear 100 years later or more. Well, Henry Higgins playing cornet and Arthur Pryor, the trombonist, were literally stars of the Sousa band. There were half dozen men who at the time were, as soloists, almost as famous as John Philip Sousa, and they became more famous because of sound recordings, because here was a way in which people throughout the world could hear these recordings.
How many people could actually hear this recording, though, say at home or someplace else in a public setting?
Well, the Berliner gramophone machine, the playback device, sold for, I don't recall exactly, but somewhere maybe $25. So anyone who could afford $25 and something like a dollar a disc, and that's not that simple. I mean, this was in the 1890s, so that was a lot of money, could buy one of these recordings and play the disc in their living room, which must have been a profound experience to hear a band play on your piano or, you know, in your parlor at home.
Did Berliner realize how important his inventions were at that time or would be in the future?
I certainly don't think that he, you know, was able to dream up Britney Spears and MTV. But by the time he died in the late 1920s, radio had come to be. The Victor Talking Machine Company was the largest, you know, sound recording company here. And his own companies, he helped found Deutsche Grammophon in Germany and the Gramophone Company in England. So if he didn't know it initially, he knew it very soon.
You mentioned earlier that he felt overshadowed or was overshadowed by Edison and by Bell, and I hear he had something of an inferiority complex about this.
Well, I think that in the 1920s, as his career was winding down, he was mostly working on acoustic tiles here, he started to assemble documents from his life and made scrapbooks and commissioned a biography. And those are the materials that are on the Library of Congress American Memory website. You can see these scrapbooks. You can see his annotations in them. And I think it's clear in them that he was putting together a case for himself. Something, in his words, on one of the pages of the website, something to assure his prestige. Because he'd had a lot of litigation where his patents were challenged. At one point, Edison did take credit for invention of the microphone, and the case went to the Supreme Court.
Oh, really?
And Berliner won. So he put together these scrapbooks to, in part, you know, help him remember his life, but I think also to assure his place so people would know exactly what he did do.
Here's another Berliner recording. Now, this one is actually Buffalo Bill Cody talking about Cuba. And I didn't even know there were any recordings of Buffalo Bill. This is amazing.
If the government were guided by their advice, butchering, devastation, and barbarity would become permanent social conditions in Cuba.
It's very hard to understand, but what Buffalo Bill is arguing for is U.S. intervention in Cuba against the oppression of the Spanish. And if you read the transcript of it, it could be an argument to go into Vietnam or any other foreign war we might have gone into since.
How on earth did Berliner get to record Buffalo Bill?
We don't know. And one of the great things about this recording is that it was made in 1898, I think, and it wasn't discovered. The Library of Congress didn't acquire it, and collectors weren't aware of it until 1982. Someone called us and offered it to us.
Oh, my gosh. How did Berliner test his recordings to see if they really worked? I mean, was this something like sitting for an old-fashioned photo or daguerreotype or something like that?
Well, Berliner tests his recordings by making recordings himself, just like the first recording of the first recording made was Edison reciting Mary Had a Little Lamb, where he tested it. Berliner recited nursery rhymes. I think his was Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And he would cut a recording or cut a master and then try to play it back and make improvements. And there were constant improvements in the first 20, 30 years of sound recording history, actually throughout the whole 125 years of sound recording history. People are striving to make it better, or easier, or cheaper.
Emil Berliner died in 1929, and I had no idea this individual existed. What is his true legacy to all of us?
Well, I think one of his true legacies is us talking here to each other over the radio through a microphone, but I think mostly the sound recording industry, the commercial industry. He was the one, when he invented the gramophone, the flat disc, in the late 1880s, proposed paying artist royalties. That's the first statement to pay royalties to artists that I've ever been aware of. So I think we can credit or blame him for our record collections.
Sam Berlosky is head of the recorded sound section of the Library of Congress. To learn more about Emil Berliner and to hear more of his recordings, visit our website at npr.org. Sam Berlosky, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
Here's Emil Berliner himself singing for his grandson, Bobby Frank. It's a recording Berliner made on September 3rd, 1924.
Hello, Bobby. I'm going to sing for you. Listen. Write a letter from thy sire, baby mine. I could read and never tire, baby mine. He is sailing over the sea. He is coming back to me. He is coming back to thee. Baby mine, he is coming back to thee, baby mine. Good night, sleep tight, don't let any mosquitoes bite.